you. All the colors. We look at this grand bouquet that we've created, and we see so many different colors, shapes, and sizes. And of course, if we look around this great hall, we also notice lots of differences, some of which we can see and some of which we can't see. So you could look around and see what you notice. We can get a sense of how old people are, but we can't tell about the kinds of experiences they've had in their lives. Some people have lived in big cities. Some people have lived on farms. Some people have gone to school in one-room schoolhouses. Some have been homeschooled. Some went to big public schools. Some went to private boarding schools. We can see different hair colors and different hairstyles, but we can't see all those different thoughts that people have. We come here together as a religious community, so we know that the people here spend some time thinking about big questions like, what do I trust most? What kind of person do I want to be? How do I make a difference in the world? Who or what is God? How do I learn to be kind to all people? Different people here come to different answers to those big questions, and that's part of what makes us Unitarian Universalist. We are all on a search for truth and meaning, and we honor each person's responsible search. We come here to ask the important questions and to seek answers, but we don't come here to get one particular answer, which is part of what makes us different from many other religions. Now, I discovered Unitarian Universalism in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then soon moved to Atlanta, where I got very involved in the big congregation there and met my friend Kristen in the new UU class. So you should come to the Getting to Know Roof class because you might meet a friend that'll last for decades. Especially in the South, Unitarian Universalists talk about their sense of relief and gratitude for having found Unitarian Universalism. In a sea of religious fundamentalism, it is this denomination that gives them encouragement and support to express, to discuss, to grapple with their answers to the big questions. Today we welcomed new members into our fellowship. So now we have even more people who will have different answers to bring into our conversations. When we welcomed them, we said that we were ready to be changed by them, to be transformed by them. We heard the story of Norbert Chopik and how he shifted his religious beliefs from being Catholic to being Baptist to being Unitarian. He kept asking questions and finding new answers, and he was so happy to find Unitarianism, where asking questions was honored as a sacred practice. I know a little bit about Rich Lang's story, one of our new members today. He actually had more permutations than Norbert Chopik. He says he was raised by fundamentalists on one side, atheists on the other, and New Agers in the middle. In high school, he discovered a loving, caring group of evangelical Christians. In college, he discovered literature and philosophy, a love of music and arts. He met, after college, a Presbyterian minister at a Hollywood coffee house, an evangelical wing of Presbyterianism that was really about social justice. This is not the evangelical wing that we hear about much in the media, but it exists. And then he grew to study more about world religions, interested in the Eastern and Western dialogue, and in that process let go of the idea that any one religion could have a single idea about God. And eventually, with doing this kind of work, where do you think he found himself? Here at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, he was teaching a course with Julie Excel about Emerson's essays and was really struck by the process of how the people here worked with faith, with doubt, with discovering their own answers, and recognized that this religious tradition offered him the spaciousness and the integrity that he sought. So we are so glad he has formally joined us. Remember, we heard about Norbert coming to the U.S. and then going back to Czechoslovakia after World War I, where he started that Unitarian Church and discovered that there were lots of people who wanted a place to ask questions and seek their own answers. And he was so glad to offer the freedom of our religious liberal tradition to those people who were hungering for meaning in such a difficult time. Now, Chopic actually felt that Orthodox Christianity's doctrine of human depravity, this idea that people are inherently bad or sinful, that idea in itself was sinful. So remember from our story, we know that what he believed was, I am okay. I can tap into the deep strength of my soul. He knew that he was fundamentally good. In a sermon, he talked about the human soul as the spark of God. And he wrote, there is in every soul a thirst for something that is higher and greater than all science and all art. We call it by different names, but in essence, it is nothing other than a hidden cry for harmony with the infinite. God is the soul of our soul and the life of our life. Closer than breath and one's heartbeat is God. Every person is an embodiment of God, and in every one of us, God struggles for a higher expression. Here ends his quote. We come here together to feel closer to something larger, and some of us call it God. Some of us think about being attuned with nature. Some seek to be true to their best self. Some feel sustained by the goddess. Some are inspired by a depth and rigor of thinking. Some don't know what to call it, but feel that sense of longing. I'm guessing that most of us might agree that we could call it a holy mystery. And the beauty of this tradition is that we are willing to sit with the mystery, with a sense of awe and appreciation for the complexity, the ambiguity. We don't seek the comfort, the false comfort of simple answers and certainty. We know that the big questions call us to seek the deeper meaning together. Those people living more than 100 years ago, almost 100 years ago, far away in Czechoslovakia, were also seeking deeper meaning in their lives. And they lived in very difficult times. After World War I came the rise of Hitler, the increasing power of the Nazis who took over Czechoslovakia. And Chopic thought, with all these difficulties, the people are going to stop coming. It's getting more and more dangerous. But people kept coming. Some of them would walk for hours. It became even more important for them to come. And things got bleaker and bleaker. And people were in real danger. They were frightened. They needed some hope. But like many of us, they had left religious traditions, so they didn't have a lot of ritual or prayer from those traditions, and they were really resistant to that. But Chopic knew that ritual was necessary. There were times when you needed to go beyond words, that rituals could help people connect with deep meaning in the midst of difficult circumstances. So he created this flower communion, this ritual, to bring a sense of hope and to celebrate the diversity in that congregation. Everyone brings a flower, places it in a communal vase, and then later people come forward to take a flower that someone else brought. So it symbolized that despite how hard life had become, each person had something beautiful to contribute, and it was offered of their own free will to the common good. And that despite all the troubles around them, each person could find something beautiful to take with them from the common good. And this ritual has endured because of its meaning. Many, probably most Unitarian Universalist congregations participate in this ritual each year. I remember it with great appreciation from Atlanta, where the sanctuary is in the round, and so the beautiful bouquet was in the center during the whole service. UU Minister Megan Conrad describes it, it's so simple, yet it expresses so much about who we are as a community. A spray of many colors and textures, shapes and sizes, mixed up together, held by common containers. We are all mixed up together. With all of our diversity of thought and belief, we still find ourselves drawn together by the unnameable mystery. So we can see that no two flowers are alike, just like no two people are alike here. And of course, this bouquet would not be the same if not for each individual flower. So today, we welcomed new members. The fact that they're amongst us means we'll be different. Each of these flowers makes a difference. And by exchanging flowers, we will show our willingness to walk together in our search for truth, for meaning. So we'll take home a flower brought by someone else that lets us remember how we're connected, how we're influenced by each other. And Chopic said that the vases were important because to produce a bouquet, there needs to be something to hold them together. And that we too, as human beings, need to bind ourselves together for a higher purpose so that the bouquet that we create is more beautiful than any single flower. And so now we will prepare to actually participate in this flower communion. And I invite my readers forward as we will open the flower communion with some more words from Norbert Chopic.